Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we reflect today upon this beautiful feast of the Holy Family. And it's always the first Sunday after the Epiphany, and we're jumping ahead in the life of our Lord because we're reading that Jesus in today's gospel is 12 years old. And then during this coming week, we'll continue to hear the gospel of the Epiphany. And then on February 2nd, we read about the purification of Our Lady 40 days after the birth of Jesus. But obviously, we have to try to compress the various events of our Lord's life at some point into the calendar year, so not everything follows exactly chronologically. This feast, I believe, was instituted by Pope Leo XIII in the late 1800s, because even then he recognized that there were more and more forces that were occurring in society going against the family. And the church teaches us, the very law of nature teaches us, common sense teaches us that the family is the basic building block of society. You might say that's like each family is a cell in the overall body of society. And as the family goes, generally speaking, so society goes. So, as I said, the Pope recognized that there were arising more forces working against the family, forces that would break apart the family, that would break apart marriage, that would interfere with that all-important duty of parents raising their children. So here we are in the year 2017. Have things gotten better? Well, we have to admit to our chagrin that things are actually much worse than they were in the time of Pope Leo XIII. But nevertheless, let's remember that the Holy Family is the model, the template for all families. And it will always be there as a help, as an inspiration for that all-important work that has to be accomplished, the raising of children, so that when they are finished being raised by their parents, they can be or go about their father's business, which is, of course, doing the will of God in their vocation as priest, religious, married, or single. So when we think of the family, it is a most awesome, most powerful thought. Pope Pius XI, in his encyclical on marriage, says, "The family is more sacred than the state." What does he mean by the state? Well, the government, the country. And he's making a very excellent point there. He says the family has to come first. It's the first society that any child enters. To put it in another way, for example, when a child, let's say a child is born today here in Spokane. From that moment, that child is a member of, well, that child's already been a member of society, even during pregnancy. As we know, life begins in the womb. It doesn't begin at birth. But that child is subject to the laws of the country, the laws of the state. But before that child ever can obey those laws in a conscientious way or be a contributing member of society, that child has to grow up first in the family. That's the first society that the child knows. And as we know, the younger the child, the more susceptible they are to formation, which is why education begins from the earliest times in the child's life. And as the child grows and becomes a good member, a contributing member, a well-formed member in that family, to that extent, the child will be a good, contributing, and profitable, if you want to use that word, member in the greater society that he or she will enter once they reach their vocation. So a very, very profound thought the family, how important it is, how critical and crucial the formation of children is from the earliest times. And this, the family necessarily has to be a school of virtue. And the church teaches us, the law of nature teaches us, common sense teaches us that it takes father and mother working together to do that all-important task. As we know, no man can be a mother and no woman can be a father. And this is the beautiful plan. And even for God himself, when he became, took on human nature, he too would have a human father by adoption, St. Joseph, and he had a natural mother. And even though, as God, he needed no raising, nevertheless, he allowed himself to be raised by St. Joseph and Our Lady. What an absolutely awesome thought. I mean, that's just mind-boggling to think of God, Almighty God, submitting to his human creatures, obeying them. He knows everything with an infinite mind, and yet he did as St. Joseph and Our Lady instructed him. As we know, children do not belong to their parents in the absolute sense of the word. They are gifts from God. And you raise your children and you give them back to God in their vocation. This is why our Lord used these words and when he was found in the temple. How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? No, obviously he was talking about his Father in heaven at that point. But I think it illustrates very well that one day, as I said, your children, as they enter their vocation, they will be going about their Father's business. What a profound thing that is when a young man or young woman leaves the family to enter the religious life, or if a young man is called to the priesthood. Parents are giving their child back to God. When a child gets married, even though the child, or the now of course a young adult entering the state of marriage, even though he or she may live in the area, I've heard it a number of times, the parents remark about their sense of, you know, there's tears of joy and tears of sorrow because they have truly left the family to begin their new family. What a profound thing that is. And when a child, a young person, enters the single state, it may not be as a clear-cut step as it may be for religious life or marriage, but it is definitely a step. And they're giving their child back to God in the single state, which some are called to. So as we think of the Holy Family today, we see that perfect model for what parents, for what children are to do. And we see that giving of the child to God, even in the Holy Family. On February 2nd, when we celebrate the purification of Our Lady, the presentation of our Lord in the temple, there it is, Mary and Saint Joseph acknowledging this child belongs to God. He is God too, but in his human nature, he belongs to God. So we're presenting him in the temple. And of course, Saint Joseph died before Jesus embarked upon his public ministry. But to all appearances, and Saint Louis de Montfort reflects on this, he says, Jesus lived with Mary for 30 years, as though his birth was not enough of a message of how important Mary is. To all appearances, he lived with her for 30 years. And then on Calvary, Our Lady makes the final and ultimate act of offering her child back to God when she gives him as co-redemptrix to the Heavenly Father, says, I offer this sacrifice of my Son on the cross. So we see that perfect model of family living, of family spiritual dynamics. We also see family prayer. The very fact that they are bringing Jesus to Jerusalem when he's 12 years old, that I believe would have been one of many times. By law, at least the Jewish men had to appear 3 times every year in the temple, no matter where they lived in Israel. So it could have been a journey. In the case of our Lord and Our Lady and St. Joseph, at least 3 days. And where's the spiritual message here is parents bringing their children to church. And not only bringing them to Sunday Mass, but bringing them at other times to church. Bringing them to receive the sacraments. And also praying at home. I cannot emphasize enough, and this is why it's in the bulletin every single week, the quote of Father Patrick Peyton in his Rosary Crusade, the family that prays together stays together. In other words, many problems are resolved through prayer that otherwise will not be solved and may fracture the family, easily may fracture the family. The lack of prayer. It's also been proven statistically that parents who pray together at home and, of course, with their children, the family prospers. The family does well because prayer is like breathing. What happens if we stop breathing or breathe only very shallowly? Well, our health, you would die if you stop breathing. But if you don't breathe deeply, you don't get that oxygen to have a healthful life. So the importance of prayer, daily rosary as a family, even morning and night prayers as a family. You know, one of the greatest blessings of religious life, and yes, we are a family. The religious priests and brothers, they're a family. The religious sisters, they're a family. One of the greatest blessings that we have is that schedule where we have formal prayer on our daily agenda. We gather 3 or 4 times a day to pray together. And that always bonds us together better. Why not? We're in the presence of God. We're praying together. And we as a family, we too need that bonding that happens through prayer. It's one of the many blessings of common prayer. You get the merit, not just of your own effort, you get the merit of others' effort in their prayer as well. How much we lose out when we do not pray together. St. Alphonsus Liguori also says one of the greatest blessings is that not only the prayer together in life that they have, but he says, when I am dying, he says, I know I will be surrounded by my brethren in holy religion. They will be praying with me and for me, helping me in that tremendous transition from life to death and, of course, eternity. So That's a first and most important step for all families to pray together. The better we can pray together, the better we can fulfill that the all-important function of the family. And the healthier the family is, the healthier overall society will be. It says that Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace. And I think we can apply this even to children. And let me explain, first of all, how Jesus could advance in wisdom, age, and grace. I was looking this up earlier today, but there's 4 kinds of wisdom and 3 kinds of grace. And I won't get into all the details of that. But basically, our Lord could only grow in one of those four kinds of wisdom, because the other three kinds of wisdom he had to an infinite degree as Almighty God. But the wisdom that our Lord could advance in is daily experience. You see, our Lord went through each day like we do. He got up in the morning, he prayed, he ate, he worked, he even took recreation, I'm sure. He interacted with St. Joseph and Our Lady. And that is an experience, and that's the kind of wisdom that our Lord obviously did grow in for all of his 33 years. And the kind of grace that our Lord grew in was not, of course, the infinite grace he had as God, but the grace of each action that he fulfilled was meritorious, infinitely meritorious. So he did this good action, this good action, this good action, and finally his greatest action is passion and death. He did it. And each one of those was a grace that he was meriting and earning for us, even though he had the others already infinitely. So this is our prayer for all the children. We pray for their parents to lead them in the ways of holiness, and to pray that in their children's lives they will see that growth in wisdom, not just earthly wisdom, but supernatural wisdom, knowing what life is really all about. Also, obviously, age, children age, they all grow, we all do, and we pray that they will grow in grace so that they may receive their great reward in heaven for having striven for holiness during their life in their vocation, going about their Father's business. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.